Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. Happy Hour Thursday. No Friday show tomorrow, so Happy Hour Thursday for us. We got some people drinking out there, Randy.
Yeah, man. Well, I'll tell you what. I just this Cherokee Run place. Yeah, Andy, it's like 50 minutes from my house.
That's not where we're playing.
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how far the place we are playing is from your house, but I mean, it's like slightly south of Conyers, so it's not going to be next door, but okay. I mean, I don't live in Conyers either, so okay. It's going to be a little drive. Another reason to play early, beat traffic.
Yeah, I was just checking. I just want to let you know. I
you're looking. You're looking for excuses, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Dude, I just went out to the garage, just dusted off the golf bag and everything, and put my little covers on because I just whenever I play, I forget to put them back on, so I throw them inside the bag. Mm-hmm. Got my glove ready, kind of, you know, some shouts. I'm assuming that I have to wear a collared shirt, so
I think there you can wear whatever you want. I don't think I don't think we're playing at Augusta National. I think you'll be all right. If you wanted to wear the mock turtleneck, you'd be okay. Put on a mock and a visor.
I'm gonna wear the visor. I put on a mock and then had the dusty neck when we get off of there. No, I'm okay. I'm gonna let the Adam apple breathe a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah. but no. Okay, man. All right. Because what's gonna happen is, you know, Isaiah's gonna want to come, right? Isaiah, because whenever I go play golf, he always wants to come.
Great.
And then if he got to go, then the curly head boy want to come.
Okay.
And so we might have a house full, a cart full.
But bring them all. Bring them all. I mean, look. Here's my reason for being so. Is aggressive the right word? It might be. Here's why I've been such a pest about it, Randy. And if you brought your boys, that would make it even better. I've seen probably 7 people that I know in the last 3.5 months.
Okay.
I've seen my wife, seen my dog, seen my neighbor who's building the house.
Did you put Boone in the person?
Count him out. He doesn't even count. He's not even a person. I've seen 7 mammals in the last 3.5 months that I know. I mean, I see people walk by the house, but I don't know them. They don't even wave. Sometimes I wave to people from my porch. They don't wave back at me. I don't know why. I've seen my mother and father-in-law, and I've seen my brother-in-law and his girlfriend. Other than that, I've seen Brian. That's it. I want to see Wendy. I would love to see Wendy, but Wendy doesn't play golf. Randy, our show Open talks about making eye contact.
Yes.
I can't wait to make eye contact with you tomorrow.
I'll tell you what I'll do then. I'll take a eye selfie. I'll take an eye selfie, and I'll send it over to you. You can gaze in my eyes all day. All right, man. I've told you, I'm on the side of coming. I'm on that side. All right. I promise you, I'm on that side. But you
know
how I am.
If you brought your boys, that's 2 more people that I know that I would get to see. It would be very exciting.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
Jarvis will be there. Haven't seen him in who knows how long. That's going to be great. It's going to be like a family reunion.
It's been a long time since we've seen Big J.
I've been a long time. I know.
It's been a long time.
I'm just excited to see humans. That's all.
That's it.
Excited to see human beings that I know.
And there's nothing wrong with that, all right? There's nothing wrong with being around people that you like. I mean, I get it. I understand that. So that's why I'm on the side of leaning. I miss you, man. I mean, without me saying it like I'm saying it, I miss you, man. All right, now I would love to see you and Brian. I want to see you guys. I don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't want to see you. I want to see you. I like, but I'd rather see you on my terms. That makes sense?
No, it does. That's a Randy McMichael sentence if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, well, I want to see y'all on my terms.
All right, well, we're going to keep working on it, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. It's going to be great. If we do, we'll get a picture and tweet it out and, you know, have proof that everybody got together. And if not, well, it'll be me, Jarvis, and Brian, and it'll be good to see them too. I'm just trying to maximize my human contact with while also minimizing it. I mean, we're still going to social distance and wear masks and all that stuff. Shout out to Melissa. Melissa's drinking this morning. She's drinking something called Fiddler, which
what
looks
the hell
like
is that?
It looks like bourbon, and it looks really good.
Oh, I don't know what Dub Breezy's drinking, but he got a glass. He got a Jack Daniels glass and looks so nice.
Yeah, that's brown
then,
liquor,
of course,
whatever it is.
Brown liquor in there. And he got his Crown Royal mask on, which is just awesome. Yeah. And then Mr. Ed, I want to say a Fusel. He's drinking Waffle House coffee, and that's even better. But
maybe.
y'all sending us these women in these jams pictures got to stop. Okay, you got to stop it. All right.
Why?
Because we're married, and we ain't got time to be looking at that stuff, man.
That's a good point. All right. Before we jump into an NFL no huddle, did want to mention a Seth Emerson article in The Athletic that came out today, where he did something that we've been asking somebody to do. Kind of. He came close to doing what we've been asking somebody to do, which is ask these college football players what they think about coming back and playing in the middle of this quarantine. We've seen occasional tweets and a comment here and there from active players, but very few and far between. Have seen very little reporting on it, and I understand why. Like, a lot of colleges have media protection and have lack of access to athletes during the offseason. We know they're talking to guys because Roddy Nabalsi came on the show and told us that he heard from players that there have been positive tests in the football program. But we also understand that when you report that stuff, and if you quote an anonymous Georgia wide receiver who says he's unsure about playing football this year, then that reporter might get some of his access taken away by the football program. That's the way some of this works. That's the the thing that is the access that is dangled in front of you to maybe not report everything that you know. So Seth Emerson asked former players, guys that are very recently removed from playing college football, and there's a lot of guys that said that they weren't super comfortable with it. And one of the things that stood out to me was a player who said something that schools have to do is have third-party testing. They have to have testing done by a group of people that don't have any skin in the game because they don't trust the football program to do it in a way that
isn't
based on...
Wasn't that UCLA?
Yeah. UCLA is doing that, but I think every school should do it because, I mean, they don't trust them. They don't trust them to make the decision with public health in mind, with the player safety in mind. They might make the decision based on trying to win the game this Saturday against Alabama in mind.
Right.
And I totally respect that. I totally agree with the player that said that.
Well, I mean. Yeah, I respect them because that's something that we've been talking about a lot, especially since we've been going through what we're going through, is that the voice that these young men have and that they're using now, and I appreciate it so much. And who's going to protect them? The one thing that whenever you go off to college and all those things, and for the most part, this is how it happens, is like right when you get to campus and all these things. I'm talking about for football players. I don't know what happens for other sports. When you get on campus, they bring your family into the team meeting room right before, you know, they leave and everything. And your coach says he's going to look after them like they're his own. And that's the thing about it. I'm going to look at them. I'm treating them like he's my son. I'm going to take care of him, help him form into a great young man, all those things. Family leaves, cries or whatever. Then it's time to go ready and get ready for practice. And so that's the thing with it is who is these kids' voice? Because they don't have a players union. They have their parents. And their parents are making the decision. Last week, James Franklin, Penn State's coach, was on. And he was basically talking about, trying to get the players back in, but then also listening to the parents who are afraid to let their child go back. What are your precautions? What is this? How's the testing going? All these things. So, I mean, I love that these young men, they should want it that way because of the fact that everything you said, Bonk, coaches are paid to win. Coaches are paid to win.
Yep.
And if these kids don't want to play, but you know that you need these kids to win, then I don't want to throw that out there like a coach would like put a sick kid out there because he's your quarterback. I wouldn't put that out there on them like that. But why not protect yourself against it? Why not protect yourself just in case it might happen?
Yeah, just to make sure. I mean, again, I don't know. Maybe that's not the nicest thing to suggest that a football program would do, but coaches – don't keep their jobs for graduation rate. Yep. Coaches don't keep their jobs for players loving them. Coaches don't keep their coaches keep their jobs for winning. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's been some great men who have gotten fired because they're okay coaches. And there's been some really bad dudes who keep getting jobs over and over and over again because they're really good at winning, because they're really good football coaches. I mean, this is not news. We're adults. We understand the way that it works. The other thing that is interesting about this that I think has entered into the adult discussion of college football in some ways is the name, image, and likeness debate. And we know that some states are passing laws to get this through. I know Florida is planning on allowing players to profit next fall.
Right? Next season.
Next fall. Yeah. Florida, California is trying to push the law through. So SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, let me make sure I get this exactly right. He was speaking, yes, to a U.S. Senate committee yesterday. Speaking to a U.S. Senate committee, said this. This is a quote from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. It would be difficult and confusing in talking about each state having different laws. He's advocating for a federal law as far as name, image, and likeness goes. It would be difficult and confusing knowing the competition within my 11 states. I can foresee quickly the other 10 one-upping each other. And I think that's a problem for fair and equitable competition. So they're pushing for a federal law to limit the amount that these guys can get. And look, the NCAA is going to fight this thing tooth and nail. All along the way to try to get their piece of the pie, for whatever reason, try to limit how much the players can get. But what he's describing there to me is literally like a free market.
Yeah.
Which is what it should, like, there's no cap on what a coach can get.
So why is it a cap on what the kid can make?
Why would there be a cap on what the, I don't get it. I don't understand. Also, that competition between whatever local, I always go to car dealership.
Everybody goes to car dealership.
It's always a car dealership. But local businesses that would be using the name, image, and likeness of players and paying them for it, that competition is what's going to get these guys their market value, isn't it? Like, that's how it works. I don't know why they want to put – I mean, I do know why they want to put a salary cap on it, because they want to control everything. But don't. that would completely make it unfair to these kids.
That's my money. My money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But that's the thing, and that like you said, they want to control every narrative that they can, you know, and they want to drag their feet as much as possible. They'll try to put in the appeals and all these things, so these kids can't get money off their likeness and all these things. But eventually, these kids are going to start getting paid, and they should have been paid. We should have been paid, you know.
But of course,
you know, now it's they're moving in the direction where these kids will get their which owed them. Now, will they get the full amount? Will the NCAA try to cap it? They're going to try as hard as they can. But these kids have got to stand fast with their lawyers, their attorneys, or whatever, and make sure they don't let them get away with that. Because it's highway robbery if they let them cap these kids.
It does seem like a good idea for there to be a college football players union. It just it feels like with all of the stuff that's going on, with how limited the voicing has been from guys dealing with the pandemic, and I know that we've said the parents are essentially their advocate, that the parents of the players are essentially their players' union. But I mean, not everybody comes from the same household. Not everybody comes from the same background. Not everybody has the same intentions or support system. With this money, like I know that there's going to be some players that fight really hard for it, and they're going to have lawyers that try to do a good job. But if they're all on the same page, look, we've seen what players being together and being a union can get done over however long in professional sports. And we're talking about serious money here. Anyway, that's going on. Greg Sankey was at the at in front of the Senate yesterday talking about this, advocating for trying to limit what these guys can get. I don't understand it. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle
with the midday show. No huddle,
the best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now. Let's go.
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. And what we found out yesterday, Randy, was that the preseason is going to get cut in half. What may happen in the NFL is the preseason might go away altogether. And, look, I know veteran players are fine with that. I'm sure the majority of the NFL is okay with that. But we also know that some guys make money in the preseason. Some guys get jobs in the preseason. And even if you don't make your squad, you might get picked up by another team. You know what we wouldn't have if it wasn't for the preseason?
What's that?
that amazing photo of you jumping over those New Orleans Saints pillars, because that happened in the preseason as well.
Yeah,
not that you needed to do that to make the team, but guys make the team in the preseason sometimes.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a big deal for some guys, man, because it is their shot. It is their one and only shot. And unfortunately, you know, other teams won't see the practice tape if you're practicing well, but there's just not a spot for you on this team. And that's how a lot of times when you see it, you know, these back-end roster, these late-round draft picks or these college free agents, how they make the team is that, okay, well, damn. You know, well, did you see that kid in practice when we had that joint practice? We might need to bring him in and put him on a practice squad, see if we can develop him. Same thing. Did you see him in that fourth preseason game when he's taking all the reps? He's having to play offense. He's having to play special teams, all these things. And you see, maybe we should put him on our practice squad, or maybe there's a spot for him on the back of the roster. That's how these things go. And, yeah, I mean, the worst part about the preseason, first of all, is having the fans have to play full price for it. That's always been disrespectful to me.
Yes.
But – yeah, I mean, they're not letting these players play. You know, I think probably into my third year was when I stopped playing in the fourth preseason game. But up to then, everybody played in the fourth preseason game, even if it was for a series or something. And now, you know, now they don't let nobody play. Hell, they don't let nobody play in the preseason at all. You know, but I mean, you look at that third game is where you get your starters in. They get to play a half. A lot of times they come out after halftime to make the adjustments for the first drive or whatever, but I mean, the NFL is all they're worried about is their bottom line. The bottom line for the NFL is September 10th. That's where they're trying to get to. And if they got to cut out everything and don't expose these guys to others until September 10th, then they'll do that.
Yeah, and I understand that. We said it a week ago that they're willing to sacrifice literally everything but regular season games. They'll shorten training camp. They'll get rid of the whatever. Like, you name it, they're willing to get rid of it in order to get to that regular season. Two issues. Number one is, if the worry is these guys being near each other is going to mean the spread of the virus, well, okay, that's going to happen in the regular season too. I mean, they're going to have to be around each other at some point if you want to play football.
Right.
Secondly, we've already seen this happen over the last decade in the NFL. The less practice, and preseason is practice, the less practice you let these guys have, the more raggedy the football looks.
Yeah,
if you don't have any preseason games, the first month of the season is going to be a joke.
It's going to have to be an expectation. You're going to have the expectation that it's not going to be the best ball the first time. I mean, between the play being raggedy, also these injuries, these soft tissue injuries and all these things, it's going to be a problem when all this happens. You have to go in with the expectation that that's how it's going to be. It's not going to be crisp or anything like that, no. But you got to know that it's going to take time.
Yeah, we'll see how much else gets cut. We know what the bottom line is, though. Play those games, even if it means fans signing waivers to be in the stadium to make a little extra money. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. Chip Carey joined us yesterday at 12:20. We'll let you hear what that conversation sounded like as Braves players reported to Truist Park. Chip Carey coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's happening, Duluth?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. Get the guys' perspective, and the ladies can listen, too. It's Guy Talk. We do it each weekday on Dukes and Bell at 3:40 and 5:40. Don't miss it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Thursday. Happy hour a day early. Shout out to Black Manther, which is a great Twitter handle. Pineapple juice, ginger beer at Tito's. Shout out to Extreme Detail, who's with us every single week drinking Bud Light Limes.
Bud Light Lime. I like BLL. That. And then shout out to my man DJ Tibone. He said that he's drinking Fiddler Whiskey. Ooh. It's one of the best new spirits in the game. It's distilled here in Atlanta at ASW. They have about 6 or 7 varieties now, but you want to get the Unison, which is a smoky caramel vibe.
That sounds so good. I can't wait to...
Hooray Sports over there. How y'all going to put up a poll? Really?
Well, it's a good poll with a good question. I think it's a reasonable question, which is, will Randy Mack show up to golf tomorrow with Brian Jarvis and Andy?
We might have an issue.
Can I read you the options for the poll question? Then we'll get to Chip Carey. It's got three options. Will Randy show up to play golf tomorrow? A, no. B, hell no. Or C, yes. Just kidding, no.
Hey, that's all I like that. But we might have an issue because the missus just texted me and said, oh, I forgot, you're off tomorrow. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Well, that it. We'll see what happens with that. That could be why Hell No is leading the voting at this point. We'll get to the Wendy Zone coming up in about 20 minutes. Wendy Adams at 11:40 every day on the Midday Show. Before we get there, though, Braves announcer, the voice of the Atlanta Braves, Chip Carey, was on with us yesterday. We started off by asking him, how do you feel about the shortened season?
I don't care about how many games it is. It's a legitimate season as far as I'm concerned, and 60 games is better than none. I don't think the sport could afford being shuttered for 18 months with, you know, today's society. I think that would have been a real, real big problem that baseball would have had to work way, way too hard on to try to remedy. As far as, you know, the cautiously optimistic part, look, I personally agree with Adam Silver, the NBA said, we're going to have to learn how to live with this virus. It's not going away. And with the protocols that are being put in place by all the major sports leagues, it seems to me from an outsider's perspective, and look, I'm not subject to them, at least to my knowledge yet, but it seems to me that the guys that are going to be playing and going to be on the field and in the ballparks and in the locker rooms are going to be taken care of medically as well as they can possibly be, knowing what we know. Look, there's risk in everything, in my opinion. These guys are in phenomenal shape. Their immune systems theoretically should be very strong, at least from the literature I have read. So hopefully, if guys get it, and I'm sure some will, and some already have, that it won't be serious and that the game can go on, that we can get the schedule in. That's why we're going to have all these extra players, the taxi squads and everything else. That's why I'm optimistic. The cautiousness is, well, if you lose an entire infield or 20 players at one time come down with it, then what do you do? So there's a lot of known unknowns, as Donald Rumsfeld would have said, but I'm hopeful that we get the games in personally, professionally, and I think from a civic standpoint, we need sports right now more than ever.
Yeah, and Chip, I think a lot of what you say is just the right way to say it or to think about it, which is, this is what I know from what I've read. This is why I'm cautious. Yeah. These are the precautions that should be taken. This is the way that I understand it. Because when people try to speak in absolutes, it's just not the reality. Like, no one really knows exactly what to do or how to do it. But if you're going to do it, try to be as safe and as cautious as you can possibly be. And based on what I'm reading, it sounds like baseball has a pretty thorough protocol for getting these guys back out there.
It sounds like it. I mean, it's thorough. Again, we're going to figure out what works and what doesn't, quite obviously. But again, I'm encouraged with the fact that, you know, the guys that have come down with the Charlie Blackmon, for example, I don't think any of these guys have ended up being hospitalized, thank God. You know, that would be a worst-case scenario if somebody, you know, really, really got really, really sick from this. And I'm not minimizing the effect of this in any way, shape, or form, but I respect the fact that all the leagues are trying. They're trying to get on the field. They're trying to play. They're trying to provide a diversion. And look, there are economics involved. The players want to play and get paid. The broadcasters want to broadcast and get paid. The owners want to try to make some money and get to postseason play and have a World Series and an exciting tournament for the Major League Baseball playoffs. There are a lot of things, a lot of balls in the air, if you'll pardon the pun. But again, I respect the big minds and the big brains that are trying to find out a way to do this as safely, as smartly, and as securely for everybody concerned. And I'm confident that that with what we know now, personally, I feel very safe going to the ballpark, and I hope the players feel the same way, and we have a great 60-game schedule.
Chip, earlier today, we kind of already knew they were going to cancel, you know, the minor league system or whatever, and they did it officially, made the announcement today. How important is it for some of these minor league players? Because, like you said, there's 60 games, and you're trying to get out fast because it's not a marathon anymore. How important is it for some of the Braves' young top prospects to find a way to get on the field this year and try to contribute a little bit?
Well, if nothing else, develop, you know, again, because like I said, somebody's going to get hurt. I'm not talking about COVID. They're going to be hamstrings. They're going to be, you know, elbow problems. All the regular things that happen over a 60-game stretch in the season, your organizational depth is going to be severely tested by this. They have extra roster spots and all that, which I think is going to help some of that. But I think the longer-term picture is, what does this do to a player's development? They're going to have the camp in at Cool Ray Field over in Lawrenceville. Those guys will be in camp over there, and if somebody goes down, they'll be a 35-minute drive away from the ballpark, depending on traffic, obviously, which is a big advantage for the Braves. But look, you know, organizational depth will be huge. It's going to be important. The Braves have done a great job of restocking the farm system, and for the guys like Drew Waters and Christian Pache or Ian Anderson and a host of others, I'm sure they're going to be told, be ready, because you don't know when you're going to be called upon, and you don't know when you're going to be needed. And when you do get up here, this is not an audition. Every game is going to take on, as you said, twice or three times as much importance simply because of the shorter schedule. So I think it's going to be exciting. I think there'll be a sense of urgency with each and every game. You know, if you're the Nationals and you start 19-31 like they did last year, there's no way they're getting to the playoffs, much less win the World Series. So there'll be an intensity and a fire, and how the games are managed, how the rosters are deployed on a daily basis, all of those things I think are going to be a fascinating exercise in real time. And quite frankly, I can't wait to get started and start talking about it.
The voice of the Braves, Chip Carey, joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And I'm with you. Like, the fact that it's different is going to make it so fascinating. The fact that it's shorter is going to make it so much more intense. And I just wonder how you feel the Braves are suited to deal with it.
Really well. You know, I was listening to MLB Network Radio the other day, and they think the Braves are one of the teams that has a real good chance of winning the whole thing. Obviously, when you get to a tournament, anything can happen, and that depends on who's healthy and who's hurt and all of that kind of stuff, which obviously we don't know. But the Braves are going to have Cole Hamels and Felix Hernandez ready at the very get-go. They didn't have that in Cole Hamels' case. He was going to be nursing a shoulder injury. They already restructured their bullpen and added to it with Will Smith and all the guys that were so terrific last year. That's a very deep, very strong, very versatile and balanced bullpen that's going to be used a lot because starters aren't going to pitch more than three or four innings their first time or two through the rotation. The Braves offense is going to be fine with the DH. They don't have to play Ozuna in the outfield. He can be your DH slugger, hit behind Freeman, and you can play Camargo and Riley at the same time, both of whom are having fantastic springs. Not to mention, you've got Acuna and Enciarte and Albies and Freddie Freeman with Darno and Flowers behind the plate. As I said, the Braves are positioned in a great spot. They're deep. They're talented. They're good. They've won the division the last couple of years, so they know what that involves. Now it's just a matter of getting off to a good start, playing well, win the division again, get in the playoffs if you can, and get that bugaboo of not winning a playoff series since 2001 off your back. And after that, I think that theme of unfinished business that was being talked about in Northport 7 years ago this past March, it seems, I think that'll be in the rearview mirror very, very quickly for the club.
Jim, how important is Snick's job in just trying to manage, like you said, your pitchers? I mean, you named off two guys, so that might possibly be a six-man rotation. How do you know when to maybe not pitch Cole Hamels one day and maybe put Mike Soroka back in there? How important is it for Snick to get ahead of these rotational and these outfield-type things?
Well, Brian's great at that. I think he knows his people. He knows his people very well. He's a great communicator, and guys, I'm sure, will be honest with him and vice versa. I think what'll be fascinating, too, is how long a leash does a player get? You know, if a guy's off to a slow start, you know, in the old days, in a 162-game schedule, you might say to a guy, well, it's just a bad two-week stretch. We're going to keep running you out there. You don't have that luxury. A two-week stretch now is a quarter of your season. So, you know, guys are going to have to hit the ground running and be ready to go right away, which, again, is going to be so exciting. To see these guys get opportunities, and if they don't step up, somebody else gets the chance. But Brian's excellent at handling the staff. He's excellent at working the bullpen. I have full confidence that that's not going to be an issue for him at all. He's always put his players' health and well-being first and foremost, as well as the organization, the training staff, who are all great. So I don't think that's anything to worry about. In fact, I think that's another advantage the Braves have.
I know we talked generally earlier, 5 minutes ago, about the impact of no minor league season and what that could mean for development of all the minor league players. But I wonder, with a 60-game season, with a slightly bigger roster when the season starts, what do you think that means specifically for some of the top-end prospects like Christian Pache, for Drew Waters and guys like that? Do you think this gives them a better chance of maybe being on the major league club when things actually start later this month?
Maybe. Again, it depends on how they play during this summer training camp. And I think, again, going back to the word fascination, which I'm using a lot, I think it'll be very interesting to see how major league clubs handle their rosters of young players. Do you start a guy's service time clock in a 60-game season? Or are you good enough that you can let that kid stay down in the minor leagues for 4 or 5 or 6 games, and then bring them up to get that extra year of pre-arbitration ownership, for lack of a better way of putting it? I mean, all of those things are going to be experiments in real time, and we won't know what the right answer is until years down the road. What is heartbreaking is, again, no minor league season for the guys that aren't necessarily Christian Pache. There's a story on Kevin Brown on The Athletic today. He's not a highly thought of prospect. He was a late round, 35th round draft pick who's getting invited to the 60-man camp. And he's grateful for that, obviously, because it'll continue his development. But not all of your players that make the big leagues and start for you are first-round picks or big free agent signees. So I think from a development standpoint, the guys that didn't make those 60-man roster cuts, it's heartbreaking for them on just about every possible level. You hope that their development as people and players isn't really, really hindered badly by this. But obviously, with all that's going on in the world, baseball had to make a very difficult decision, and we'll see if it was the right one. But to your point about Pache and Waters and stuff, like I said, they're already on the radar. Now the question is, are they going to be ready? And we'll find out. We're going to find out quickly here in the next couple weeks.
Hey, Chip, last one real quick. Have they told you what you're going to be doing as far as where you're going to be at during when these games are being played?
Very little. I think it's so much in a state of flux between baseball, the teams, and the rights holders. My understanding is that TV is not going to travel, that we're going to be broadcasting all the games from the ballpark. In what capacity and how that's going to happen, I think they're still working on all of that. I'll broadcast it from my mom's basement if that's what it takes to get on the air and start playing baseball back to fans everywhere. But all of that's still being worked out. And like I said, this is not a year to complain about what we don't get to do. I think it's rekindled a lot of us, our love of doing the game. And if it means not traveling, so be it. We'll reload and get ready for next year in that regard.
Chip Carey from yesterday, getting excited and ready for the baseball season about 3 weeks from now, hopefully, knock on wood. We'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone. In which there appears to be a solution, Randy, for the NBA's Instagram model bubble problem. We'll leave it at that. It seems like there might be a solution.
Pat them down.
Find out what that means coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's up and coming, yo?
Cheers.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And every weekday at 520, we give you the John Foy strong arm story of the day. The biggest story of the day and our reaction to it and your take as well. Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Wellstar. More than health care, it's people care. It's the Wendy Zone every day at 11:40 on the Midday Wendy! Show. Hey, Wendy.
How's it going, guys?
Great.
Hey, Wendy.
It's going great.
Hey, Randy.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I wrote down what I've talked about this week in the Wendy Zone, and I think my parents would be really, really, really proud.
Yeah.
So I wrote down I've talked about farts, a chicken serial killer.
Yep.
Cardboard
they found?
Cutout fans.
Oh, they found this. They found Jay Cutler's.
They did. Yes.
They did.
Who was it?
It was a raccoon.
Oh, that makes sense.
Does it? I didn't know raccoons went after chickens.
I didn't. I guess I didn't either.
I didn't know they liked chicken. I just see them rummaging in the garbage. And now today I'm adding to the list. I'm going to be talking about adult webcams. So.
Ooh.
Great.
So they,
girl.
My Can parents, I just really quickly, so Wendy, okay. your farting golf story?
Yes. My farting golf story. The one I did. The story I did about farting and golf.
Yeah. You know, the farting golf story that you made popular. We talked about it while golfing on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
And also while farting. Like, your story inspired it did. It inspired a very disgusting afternoon at the golf course on Tuesday.
Did you guys, try to outdo each other?
I tried to fart in Brian's backswing at one point.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're going to have an issue if y'all try to pull some of that tomorrow. Just let you know.
When you come golfing with us.
If I come golfing. I told you, I got the... I forgot you're off tomorrow, so we'll see.
The poll question, by the way, right now, not in your favor. People really don't think you're going to be there. Although there's one person that says Randy will be the first person there. That's what Fred said.
That's what Fred said. Okay.
We'll see about that. All right. We'll Wendy.
No, that's fine, guys. Well, we may have a solution to the NBA players' problems. You know, they're going to be stuck in the bubble down in Orlando, can't go anywhere. And so there's a company that has offered their services. Now, I'm just going to read the press release that comes from Fred Katz. He's the Washington Wizards beat writer for The Athletic. And I'm just going to read it out loud to you guys. It says, "Hi, wanted to share some news with you following Stephen A. Smith's comments yesterday about NBA players not being able to last 3 weeks, let alone 3 months, without being able to have sex during the proposed bubble plan for the season restart in Orlando. Cams.com, one of the world's largest adult camming and casual dating sites, has extended an offer to all NBA players and coaches who will be in Orlando for this year's upcoming season. Considering the very strict social distancing guidelines the league laid out, Cams.com is offering NBA players and coaches a comped VIP membership to its website to provide reassurance that whenever they're lonely or need some extra, quote, motivation, leading up to a big game, our cam models will be here for them 24/7. The models can provide companionship, fun conversation, sexy strip teases, and more.
Oh, hell no. I need skins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need skin on skin. I need skin on skin. I ain't gonna damn about no one behind no camera. And I tried. I did it once, right? Just to click. I clicked on the cam thing.
Yes.
Everybody's
yeah.
done that. Everybody. Every man that don't watch the nasty sites, you see that thing, or sometimes it's a pop up and it comes up. You're like, oh.
Yeah, yes, there's a lot of pop ups. Not everyone's ever clicked on it and actually tried to use it.
Dude, I clicked. Okay. Dog. It take them about 30 minutes to get naked. I need instantaneous stuff.
You can't have them speed up?
I ain't buying no damn coins.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You got to pay for that kind of stuff, don't you? Like, it's just like anything.
Hey, man. You remember one of our first shows, the Peep Show. You'd be better off going to a damn Peep Show. But then all of a sudden, you done went through a whole roll of quarters, and all she done took off was a shirt. That's all this is right here.
Now, I appreciate the sentiment. I do. I appreciate them trying to come up with a solution. And, I mean, really, And looking for publicity. The publicity stunt that it is. We're talking about them, and maybe they'll get some more traffic. But it's not the same. Like, the problem still remains. I have no doubt that an NBA player would be able to even, you know, FaceTime with a girlfriend or someone that they're familiar with and be able to scratch that itch. It's not the same. It's just not the same thing.
No.
Like the internet is a filthy, disgusting place that's at the fingertip of all these NBA players, and I imagine that they will use that to their benefit from time to time. But again, it's not the same thing, and I don't think that's going to stop the desire for the, like Randy said, for skin.
I need some. You know, they need the actual woman. Yeah, I ain't getting nothing from the camera.
Right. Yeah. It's a nice idea, and I'm glad that they offered a solution, but
what's the VIP thing consist of?
It doesn't have what the VIP consists of, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what a VIP. I mean, Randy, you want to go to the website on your computer and click on what a VIP membership.
No, I'm good on that.
I wonder how much it normally costs. I bet it normally costs quite a bit of money.
I'm sure it does, dude. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I clicked on it. I wanted to see what was happening, and she was just laying there looking. Like,
do you talk back and forth?
I don't know. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't type anything. You know, you can see the other guys are typing, and it's always the
other guys.
Wait, there's other guys. What?
Like it's a room, and
it's
like,
not
they
a one-on-one
have, like,
thing.
Oh, I don't know.
Ooh, maybe that's what
one-on-one.
VIP means. Maybe,
maybe that might be it. Maybe because you saw the guys and everybody kept saying, "Hey, baby, let me see what you got."
Nobody does dirty talk quite like perverts in chat rooms.
Oh, dude, that guy with tape on the front of his rims of the glasses.
Hey, let me ask you a personal question, Randy.
Okay.
Since we're fully disclosing things, all right?
All right.
Oh, no.
You ever buy a subscription to any one of those sites?
No, man. I can't. My thing about that is I can't give you my money if I don't get to touch you. You know what I mean? Like stripping, like at the shake. You don't touch the dancers, but you know they in front of you.
Sure.
You know
they're 3D.
What do I get from looking at you through that screen?
Right.
Yeah, that's why I'd be the worst sugar daddy in the world, man. I'd be the worst sugar daddy in the world.
You would be the worst sugar daddy in the world.
Yeah,
that is 100%.
I'm not giving you money to buy stuff for other people to see you in.
You made a person pour their champagne back into your champagne bottle one time because he didn't know him. Like, yeah, sugar daddy.
I don't give a damn about your Amazon wish list. I ain't gonna see you in it.
I one time signed up for the three-day free trial and forgot to cancel my credit card.
Oh,
so I did end up with a month. And I'll be honest with you, it was nice.
You get
it was
some extras?
Like, Yeah, it was like a country club. It was like having access to a country club for a month. But then I went back to normal.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that, dog. Yeah. I'm good on that.
We learned a lot today, guys.
Nice. Yeah, man.
Add that to the list.
Seriously, what's the point? What's the point of me buying you some draws that I ain't gonna see? No, that's so Stanley can see in them? What the hell? What they do that at? I don't like you that much.
We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the world, which again I contend just happened. What Randy just said is the most important audio in the world. We'll get to the big clip coming up next, though, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Radio.com app. Thanks, Wendy. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.